We're continuing in the final message on our series, Great Prayers of the Bible. We've arrived at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Just by way of introduction for next week, we've been studying Great Prayers of the Bible. Now we're going to start on Wednesday night, Great Personages of the Bible. And we're going to be looking at various Bible characters, focusing in on principles and truths that have great application to our lives in the service of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in the earth and in heaven are named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. On New Year's Day, the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It ran out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast resources, its truck was out of gas. Reminds me of our lives. From time to time, we just seem to run out of gas. Maybe that's been your experience recently. You've just kind of been coasting along, working, doing your responsibilities, but you know, it just seems like you're running out of gas. Perhaps we haven't been filling up at the gas station as we ought to through the filling of the Word of God. Although we may be created in the image of God with the ability to tap into the endless resources that our Lord has given unto us, sometimes we can be stalled out and sputtering, can't we? In verse 14, the Apostle Paul prays a prayer of intercession. You see the word kneel here. And he prays for Christians who were, in effect, sputtering and stalling out in the Christian faith. And if you look at verse 19, you kind of get the gist of his prayer. What does he say in verse 19? That ye might be filled. How's your gas tank? Have you had a filling? Now, most of you know that at the pumps today, you better break out two nice crispy 20s if you're going to fill your gas tank. And for those of you that are driving the real gas guzzlers, and I'm talking about some of those that have two tanks. Remember, Brother Glenn, that big van that you used to have with two tanks and a toggle switch to enter from one into the other under the dashboard? Nowadays, to fill a big Ford Explorer or Expedition, the Expeditions are really the big boys. the mean boys. Those are the ones that perhaps have two tanks, and you'll easily go $100, $110 filling up those two tanks. But, you know, we need a good filling from the Lord. Verse 19. That's part of his prayer, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's high octane. In verses 14 through 21, Paul prays that these believers would know and be filled with the tender love of Christ. And you know, the theme of our message today is the tender love of Christ. So we're going to see four elements of his love in this passage. We're going to see the extent of God's love. We're going to see the effects of his love. We're going to see the essence or the nature of God's love. And then we're going to see the excellence of God's love. Let's take a look now, verse 14. Let's look at the extent of God's love. Is the extent of his love limited to just a few believers? Notice, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's the extent of our Lord's love. Our Lord's love extends to the entire family of his children, the redeemed of all times, and notice, even those in heaven and in earth. Some of you have loved ones that are now in heaven. Yes, the Lord, his love even embraces them. The whole family, heaven and earth. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the Lord's love extends to the entire family of the redeemed, but it also embraces little old you and little old me individually. Because it says here, notice, in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3, that he would grant you individually, according to the riches of his glory. And by the way, that's what he has in his storage bin to bless us with. The riches of his glory. I used to have an uncle in New York that used to work as a waiter in a very, very fine restaurant in New York City. And every 2 or 3 months we would visit in his home, and he used to come out with a big tray of tip money. And just before we were getting ready to leave, he'd come out with that big tray and he'd say, "Okay, boys, one handful." And boy, I'll tell you what, I was just about 6 years old, and I just, you know, whenever I visited there, I just kind of, you know, wish I had a hand like my 13-year-old brother. Because my 13-year-old brother, boy, I'll tell you, when he grabbed a handful, he could grab those quarters better than anybody I ever saw. And, but we'd go there, one handful, and he had those riches there. And he just he'd come home and he'd just, every day, would just empty his trousers from all of the change and just throw it in the tray and forget about it. And just waiting for the grandkids and the other children, relatives to come, and he always used to like one handful for everybody. My dad couldn't do it. My mom couldn't do it. But some of you are saying, boy, I sure wish I had an uncle like that. Well, you know, we have a Lord who greatly gives to us according to the riches of His glory. And truly, it transcends any earthly things that might perish. Money, gold, silver will all pass away, but the Lord's blessings, the riches of His glory. How often you find the word riches used in the book of Ephesians, we saw last week. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And you know, that inner man that we have within us should never grow old. Don't ever allow yourself to become old in the inner man. Don't ever allow yourself to become old, period. You know, you could be 30, 40 years old and act like an old man. Don't let that happen to you. Let that inner man be strengthened on a daily basis. Be a Caleb. I want that mountain. Set your goals for the Lord. Be strengthened on a daily basis with His might, not your own. His might. Are you going through some trials and testings and difficulties personally right now? And you're sputtering and your gas tank is empty? Fill up on His oil reserves. Fill in on His strength that He provides. He has provided it for us. And the extent of His love is the entire family of God, but not only there, but individually, us as well. Now let's take a look at the effects of His love. And the effects of His love found in verses 16 through 18. There are three effects of our Lord's love. First of all, His love strengthens us. Where would we ever be without the tender love and assurance of the Lord? It strengthens us. Notice verse 16b, that we might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In verse 17, His love not only strengthens us, but it helps us to be steadfast, not to be quitters, to keep on keeping on. You know, I like that word dwell in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's steadfastness. We ought not to be like the waves going back and forth, as James chapter 1 tells us, but we need to be steadfast. That word dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that word dwell is composed of two Greek words. First of all, the prefix kata, which means downward, and the word oikeo, which means to dwell or to live in a house. And the idea is this. Our lives need to be lived in such a way that the Lord dwells down in our hearts. And the idea of kata oikeo means to be at home in, to nestle in our home, you see. How many of you have ever been to somebody's house and they tell you, mi casa es su casa? Anybody know what that means? My house is your house. And they have all of the amenities. And you can come and go. They say, here's the key. There's the refrigerator. You can sleep in. You can have, come and go as you like. Have a great time. You're on vacation. Mi casa es su casa. Well, you know, when somebody tells that to you, you kind of really feel at home, don't you? You really feel as if you're at home. Well, that's what the word dwell means. We are to live our lives in such a way that the Lord feels welcome there. The Lord feels comfortable in our lives. Let me ask you a simple question. Is there anything in your life that is grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are indwelt by either a kataoi keo Holy Spirit or a grieved Holy Spirit. Either the Holy Spirit is in comfort in our hearts or He's grieved. Now, if you went to visit in somebody's house, I know that you know, the old saying, Benjamin Franklin, remember he said, fish and guests smell in 3 days? Is that what he said? And I know people say, well, I live in Florida and the lumpiest mattress is in our guest room. Because after all, when people from up north come, we don't want them to get too comfortable. That's not the idea of kata oikeo. The idea of kata oikeo is that we give them the best. We get them a Sealy Posturepedic with variable times and adjustments and the best. And, you know, that's the word, mi casa es su casa. Lord, I belong to you. My heart house is your house. That's the desire. And, you know, when the Lord has flooded His love upon us in so many demonstrable ways, the effects of our lives ought to be that we want to be strong, verse 16. We want to be steadfast for Him, rooted, grounded in love and the comprehension of His love towards us. Rooted and grounded. That's a good, good description of what the Word of God talks about the spiritual man in Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted, good anchorage, a good root system. And you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of drought to get the roots to go deep into the soil. And it's able to be steadfast through the root system. But not only does the Lord say He wants us to have strength, verse 16, and steadfastness, verse 17, but He wants us to have spiritual perception, verse 18. That's the third effect of His love. In verse 18, it says, that you may be able to comprehend. See, not everybody's going to be able to do that. Not every believer is going to have as much wisdom and perception as others. The Lord has no favorites, but He does have His intimates. And the Lord wants us to enter into the corridors of His sanctuary, that we may comprehend with all saints. It's God's will for all saints to experience the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, the total volume of all of the Lord's love for us. Is it possible to attain that and to understand it? No. It passes knowledge, it says in verse 19. There's no way we can comprehend everything about the Lord's love. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're going to be learning for the ages to come. In Ephesians 2:7, we're going to learn for the ages to come all about the Lord's love towards us and His mercy and His grace and His kindness towards us. It's going to take all eternity, but you know, the Lord wants us to start right now. One of the reasons why believers doubt and believers waver and believers are so easily discouraged and cast aside to and fro through trials and testings and temptations of life is that they don't have their eyes focused and seeking spiritual perception from God's Word. The extent of His love is found in verses 14 and 15. The effects of His love, 16 through 18. Now let's take a look at the essence of His love in verse 19. We are to know the love of Christ. The Greek word know is the word ginosko. There are different words that are used in the Greek language to express to know. One is an intuitive knowledge. That's the word oida. But here, the word ginosko means experiencing on a day-to-day basis. The Lord wants us to know experientially. Now, I can say I know about President Bush, but if I really knew him personally, this is the word that I would use. To know him experientially, not just facts about him. The word epistemai is another word that's used in the Greek language to describe to know or understand facts. But here it's an experiential knowledge. The Lord wants you to know the love of Christ. Will you be willing to get alone tonight with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know you more deeply. I want to walk with you. I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you. You know, that's not going to happen if we're not in the Word of God. And it's not going to happen if we're not in prayer and if we're not practicing the presence of the Lord in our lives. His love. We are to know experientially two things. Two things in verse 19 that we are to experientially know. We are to know His love, and we are to know His limitless provision. Limitless. Now, His love, it says that we might know His love. His love passes all knowledge. But we might be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. In other words, we will receive everything we need to fill our tank if we'll focus in on the person of our Lord. Oh, too many times we try to fill our tanks with the scraps and the things of the world. You ever get a little bit too much water in your gas tank? You ever go to some of these cut-rate filling stations and you sometimes get a little more than you bargained for? Well, it can destroy a car. Sometimes you could put regular gas in a diesel engine. See what that does. And you can have all kinds of problems, but the Lord wants us to be filled with His knowledge, the fullness of God. The Gnostics, back in the first century, they had a word called pleroma, the fullness. And they thought that to understand the fullness of God, you had to worship angels and you had to go into occultic phenomenon and other deep secret orders and societies to somehow. But you know what this book says here? What this verse says? The fullness of everything we need for peace, for understanding, for day-to-day guidance in life, for the answers that we need when trials come our way, it's all found in the Lord. And man's problem is a heart problem, and that we've turned our backs on the Lord. And oh, how we need to see to it that the Lord is dwelling comfortably, that He's at home in our hearts, as verse 17. Now, let's close by looking at the fourth element of His love, and that is the excellence of God's love in verses 20 and 21. We've seen the extent, the effects, the essence, but now the excellence of God's love. Now unto Him that is able to do. It's Him. He is the one that can make a difference in your life. Give your life over to the Lord. Now unto Him that is able to do. And I like these words. Exceeding. Abundantly. Above. All. That's the kind of Lord that we're going to pray to today. Exceeding abundantly above all. That's the Savior that we have. He's able to go over the top to that which we ask or that we even think. But are we walking with Him? It's that power that works in us. That resurrection power that Ephesians 2 talks about. And notice, unto Him be glory in the church. What right do we have to want glory when it ought to be our Savior, the head of the church, that is to receive the glory? What right do we have to have pride or say, my feelings got hurt because I wasn't treated right, or I wasn't acknowledged, or I didn't get the choice of carpets, or you know, I didn't get selected to do this or that, or didn't mention me, or hey, as long as the Lord's name is exalted and held on high, we're all looking to the Savior. Unto Him be glory in the church. How? By Jesus Christ. Unto all the ages, throughout all of the ages. You know, the Apostle Paul was interested about the ages. In verse 7 of chapter 2, he talks about the ages to come. In chapter 2 and verse 7, the ages to come. Here, in chapter 3 and verse 21, throughout all of the ages. Now, if we're going to be doing things throughout all of the ages, don't you think we ought to start now? Let's start giving Him glory and honor. And we do so by giving Him first place in our lives. Let Him dwell. Let's say to the Lord, Lord, mi casa es su casa. Lord, fill me with Your knowledge. Fill me with Your power. Fill my gas tank. Lord, I know I'll not sputter along in the highway of life, but I will, Philippians 1:6, reach that goal. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we know that on that New Year's Day at the Tournament of Roses parade, there was shame brought upon the Standard Oil Company. But Lord, may we not bring shame upon Your name by the faithlessness of our lives, by, Lord, the lack of steadfastness and strength and spiritual perception that we exemplify in our lives. And Lord, I want to pray right now for listeners to this message, Lord, that are struggling, going through trials and testings, believers that need Your strength, need steadfastness, need that spiritual perception to keep on keeping on in Your power. And Father, may we glorify You in every way, focusing in on Your tender love demonstrated through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.